Well, we welcome you in to the Gardener's Corner program, a Friday feature here on WKRX and WRXO. Rob Hall along with you, our special guest today, all the way from the North Carolina Cooperative Extension Service, where he serves as the horticultural agent for Person and Granville Counties for the North Carolina Cooperative Extension Service. If you would please make him welcome with a large round of applause, Mr. Johnny Coley.
Good morning, Rob. Good morning.
How you doing,
wow,
my friend?
Happy New Year to everyone. I don't think I've been on the show the whole year. So
I don't think you have either. I sure don't. Yeah. I think the last time you was on the program, we was out live at T.G. Brooks Company back in December, on the outside where it was nice weather, to say the least.
Yeah, it was. Of course, today is warm. It's just a little drippy, but it's warm outside.
Go ahead, then.
68, I think, this morning.
The morning low this morning was 61 degrees, and that was around between 7 and 8 o'clock, but about 63 this morning, about 6 o'clock. But anyway, I think that's going to change over the next day or so. And what's the old expression? If you live in North Carolina and you don't like the weather, wait about 3 days.
Yep, it'll change, that's for sure. And that's been definitely the case here of late. Like we've hit these weekend weather systems coming through and giving us a little bit of ice for the last three weekends. Fortunately, this weekend, we're not going to have that.
Well, I tell you, I'm not disappointed at all that we're not going to have any snow, sleet, or ice. Johnny, before we kind of get into some of the things that you want to share with our listeners today, and you've got a lot of different things. Are you recovering pretty good from your broken ankle?
I am. Well, I appreciate you asking. I am. Everything's going well. I've moved to just a regular boot. But the only thing, it's still swollen, so the only thing it'll fit in is a boot. But I'm doing good, still hopping a little bit. But doctor says I'll make a full recovery from my ankle. The other issues, mental and otherwise, he said, jury's still out. Ankle will recover. The ankle will heal.
Well, now, Johnny, What were you entered into, a two-person sack race when you ended up hurting your ankle, or breaking your ankle, I should say?
Well, they had a lot of people that were, dropping out of the Winter Olympics because of COVID, and I said, well, this is my opportunity. So I could, hone my skills of, downhill skiing or bobsledding or something, and in the process of thinking about all that, my dog ran into me and knocked me down and broke my ankle. So it threw me out of the Olympics.
Wow.
I just knew I was going to be able to make it.
I'm glad that you are certainly on the road to recovery, so to speak. And I know you was on the Weekend Gardeners program a few weeks ago with Mike Rayley and Rufus Edmonston and a couple other people on the program, and we got word back here at WKRX that you all made mention of Mr. Dave Bratcher and myself on the program that day, and we appreciate y'all making mention of us, on 680 AM, and I guess y'all just needed some time to feel that day, but we'll take it any way we can get it, so to speak.
It was the highlight of the show. They always enjoy coming over. They've been to T.G. Brooks a couple, three times now, and did the remote over there, and it was a good day, and they always enjoy coming out, and I enjoy doing the remote from over there. I enjoy doing the radio here and PTS as well. It's always good to get extension word out by mass media. It's always a good opportunity, and we appreciate that opportunity from both radio stations.
You have became quite the more or less what's the word I'm looking for? Media on air personality.
I wouldn't go nearly that far. There's a lot of other personalities that are, and speaking of great radio personalities, you know, Rob Hall for Roxborough is probably about the top of the list.
Oh Lord. Maybe down near the bottom of the barrel. But anyway, Johnny, I know you've got a lot of things that you want to pass along to our listeners. But one thing I want to ask you about, and this is probably something that, you know, we won't have to worry about for quite some time. But I had a gentleman ask me a question a while back, and I said, the next time I have Johnny on the program, I said, I will ask him, are you ready?
I'm ready, I think.
He says that every year he has a hard time with the squirrels eating the fruit off of his trees. And he said, is it anything that could be done? And I said, well, you could, I know one thing, I said, you could, you know, feel the squirrels full of lead, I said, but other than that, I don't know. But what I'm getting at is it any kind of, you know, chemical or deterrent that could be put around or on fruit trees to keep squirrels and other wildlife away?
Well, there are some repellents, Rob, you know, how well they work. Squirrels are probably the toughest ones to repel. They really are difficult to get a handle on. You know, even deer, you can fence deer out to a point, but squirrels, they just climb over the fence and they come on in anyway. So it's hard to get them under control. There are some repellents. I don't have any recommendations as far as which ones to use, but you know, I know that there are some out on the market for repelling squirrel and other wildlife. I think there's a broad spectrum repellent, and then there's some that's more specific for the actual animal or wildlife that you're trying to control. Squirrels are difficult. You can trap them. You need to check the regulations of North Carolina Wildlife as far as depredation, getting a depredation permit if you're going to, kill them outside of the season that they're in. I don't know, to be honest, I don't know when squirrel season is over. It seems like it does go into February a little bit, but it's probably about over now. Although you can, if they're doing damage, you can, take care of them in a lethal manner any time, but you just need to make sure you have that depredation permit for them. So, they can be handled. That's, high-velocity lead poisoning is an option. taking the proper, precautions beforehand, you can do that. But they are difficult. I think they're going to, deer, it used to be everybody, was concerned about the deer. And as I've mentioned, you can put them, you can fence them out and sort of control them a little bit, but the squirrels are really very difficult. I don't think we got a single apple off our tree this year because of the squirrels. They're inside a fence to protect them from the deer, but that squirrel just climbed right over. So it is a difficult one, and I don't have a silver bullet that you... to get rid of them. It's difficult. I actually had a guy when I had the greenhouse and nursery. He built a cage out of I call it chicken wire, over his tomato plants because they kept getting his tomatoes would ripen and they would throw his tomatoes away. He actually built a cage around them so he could get some tomatoes. I don't know how he got the tomatoes out of there. I guess he had a little door or something he could open, but maybe just put over top probably, that he could just bring it off but anyway, they are an issue. Short of putting like a cage, you would have to put a small opening wire cage around them, like chicken wire, hardware cloth, around your plants, and doing that around an apple tree or pear tree, it's just not practical.
Well, appreciate that information, and I know sometimes you have to take drastic measures, so to speak, to bring things back into control. But a lot of us believe in the live and let live analogy. But there again, we do have a few fruit trees there at our place, and same thing. The apples, they were looking pretty good, and I think I finally was able to pick one up off of the ground and try it a little bit. But, between apples and, between squirrels and, other things, just didn't, enjoy any of them. But I guess it would be nice if I could just talk to squirrels and, hey, eat all you want, but just save a few for us, But
that's right.
I hadn't learned how to talk squirrel exactly yet, but anyway, Johnny, kind of moving along, you may mention that you're going to be starting up the Master Gardeners certification course in the near future. If you would, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we do have the training. Master Gardener training will be this year. It starts in August, so we got get a little while, but I just wanted to let anyone know that they are interested in joining the Master Gardener program or taking the training. We will be having that class. I believe it's the 11th. It's the second Thursday in August is when we'll start that. I believe that's August 11th is when that class starts. The classes will be on Thursday mornings from 9 till 12. And it may last, it's about a 16-17 week program or training, and we talk about a lot of different topics related to horticulture, insects, diseases, and vegetable garden, ornamental plants, diagnostics, as far as how to diagnose different diseases or insect issues you might have, composting, vegetable gardening. I mean, it's a lot of different topics that we have. So we discuss those this year. Hopefully, we'll be able to do it face to face. The last training I did in 2020 was totally by Zoom or virtual. So that hopefully with this time we will be able to do it face to face, and maybe even do some field trips as well. So usually try to do at least one or two field trips within that. The class and the training, having them at the same time as the class would normally be. But, looking forward to having some people join us this year. We've got a great Master Gardener program started in Granville and Person Counties, with some very loyal team members and Master Gardeners in that program now. So, we're looking forward to adding to that and moving along. So, anybody that is interested, please give me a call at the either office, Granville or Person. And Person County is 336-599-1195, or Granville County, it's 919-603-1350. So just give me a call at either place, and we'll get you. Haven't really got a application or anything yet, but give me a call and I'll get you on my, I've got an interest list started, so just give me a call and I'll put you on that, and as time gets closer, I'll be in touch to see if you're still interested and move forward from there. But it is, like I said, it's on Thursday mornings from 9 to 12 and starts in August and goes through about the 1st of December. So it's,
okay.
It's a pretty extensive course.
Another question for you, Johnny. We had someone to call and left a message with Kilby. The caller was asking about what is the best time of year to trim back up hydrangea. Did I pronounce it correctly, Johnny?
Hydrangea, yes, sir.
Yeah, hydrangea. Okay. What is the best time to cut it back?
There are different types of hydrangeas. I'm going to address the what I call the mop head hydrangeas, the big ones, either pink or blue, depending on the pH of your soil. The time to prune those is right after they finish blooming. If you prune them now, you will be pruning your blooms off for this year. Those hydrangeas bloom on last year's growth. So you want to make sure that you let that growth come on out to flush out this year, and then let it bloom. Once it blooms, then you can trim it back if you need to. If it's a very large one, and they will get pretty good size, when they flush out with new growth, when the new green growth comes out this year, you will have some dead stems from last year. You'll have some dead stems in there. You can go ahead and cut those out. But right now, with the plant being dormant, you can't tell which ones are gonna come out and have leaves on them or not. So you want to wait until they come out, probably end of April. They should be flushing out end of April, 1st of May. They should be having leaves on them. And any dead stems, any dead branches on them at that time, you can prune that. But as far as reducing the size of the plant, if you need to do that, do it right after it finishes blooming, and that way you'll have new growth to come on after you prune it, and that growth will have blooms on it for next year. But if you prune it now, you'll risk pruning your blooms off for this year. So that's the best time to prune anything that blooms on last year's growth. Hydrangeas are one of those. Forsythia is one of those as well. Azaleas. Azaleas are a little bit tricky because a lot of people have planted the encore azaleas now, or the repeat blooming azaleas. And they bloom in the spring, and then they'll turn around again and bloom in late summer, early fall. You prune those right after the first bloom in the spring in order to not interrupt the bloom cycle. Prune those right after they bloom in the spring, and that'll take care of them. So it's a great handout that I have, and it's available online as well. But it covers the specific plants as far as when they bloom. So if you don't know exactly when that your plant blooms or when the best time to prune it is, this is a good good handout. I'll try to get that. A lot of times the websites or the links are pretty long, but if anybody is interested in that, if they can just contact me, I can send them a copy of it either electronically or put a copy in the mail for that particular publication. But it's a great publication that Cooperative Extension has that gives you the plants and when the best time to prune those particular plants. And it's a pretty extensive list of ornamental plants that you that they have in there. So if anybody's interested in a copy of that, just please contact me and I'll be glad to get you a copy of it.
336-599-1195 is the number to the Person County office. The number to the Granville County office is 919-603-1350. Did I get those correct, Johnny?
It sounded correct. correct to me. Sir.
All right. Well, now.
I don't call myself very often, though, I'll be honest.
Well, I talk to myself all the time, but. And I have been known to answer myself.
Somebody intelligent, right?
Well, Johnny, here it is. You know, just first part of February. The $4 fee for soil samples are still in effect, and they will remain in effect until the first part of April. Correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, April 1st is when they become free. Now to March 31st, there is a $4 charge, which is a good, it really is a good deal, Rob, because there's states that charge $25, $40 year-round for this service. So it is good. And you know, a lot of people will ask me, can I get a meter, a pH meter, or do a soil test, you know, from a store or something like that and try it. And you can, and they might be correct, but they have, you know, millions of dollars worth of equipment over there at NCDA in Raleigh, and they run these tests through them, and very accurate. And, as I've said before on the program, you know, pH is your key. That's your biggest one that you want to make sure you have that pH right, so because that affects how the other nutrients can be used within the plant. So that's critical.
Well, we need to get a word on for T.G. Brooks Company, 411 Helena Mariah Road, right there in the heart of Timberlake. Johnny Coley is our guest. We'll be back right after this message from T.G. Brooks Company.
Even though the calendar says it is February, we all know that spring 2022 is not far behind. There is plenty of time now to come to T.G. Brooks Company and get some sound advice for your lawn preparation coming up soon. They have had so much experience, so why not let the professionals work with you on your spring lawn and garden planning? They serve homeowners all over Person and surrounding counties. They will tell you all about the advantages of pre-emergent weed control or weed and feed. You want to be sure to perk up your lawn with fertilizer, lime, and weed control to get your lawn off to a proper spring start this year. To beautify your flower garden and shrubs around your home, T.G. Brooks Company carries hardwood as well as dyed mulches, and they will deliver to your home or office, and they'll also sell it by the scoop or by the bag. They feature all of the popular lawn and garden chemicals and treatments, insecticides, herbicides, and always carry the soils like topsoil, bulk planting soil, potting soil, cow manure, and pine needles to make your place look sharp. They have equipment for sale or rent like spreaders, power pluggers, and lots of lawn and garden tools, and of course, wheelbarrows. And before you know it will be March. They'll have all of your flower garden and vegetables and garden supplies. When it comes to beautification, come in today and talk over your plans. Let them remind you that T.G. Brooks Company has your water heater elements, thermostats, and pressure relief valves. They have Taylor wood stove parts. Person County and surrounding areas count on T.G. Brooks Company, serving the homeowner, farmer, and construction worker since 1936. Phone anytime at 364-2428.
We do appreciate the support of T.G. Brooks Company in Timberlake. Johnny Coley is our guest on the program today, and Johnny is the horticultural agent for Person and Granville Counties of the North Carolina Cooperative Extension Service. Johnny, as far as pesticide applicator license and things like that, any kind of workshops or anything going on for that, or classes, yes, I should say?
We do. We've got some trainings coming up in February, February 15th and 22nd. On the 15th, it will be from 10 until 12. There's a V training. So if you have a private applicator's license and you need a V credit, or two V credits, usually you have to have two V credits for a 3-year cycle, without license, and this will suffice for that. The February 15th from 10 to 12, and then February 22nd from 6:30 to 8:30. That will give you your V credits. That's the two trainings we have coming up. So if you are interested in taking those or need those V credits, feel free to give the office a call. We're sort of combining efforts. These will all be face-to-face meetings, and you can either go to Person County office or the Granville County office for these trainings. I believe both, I'm pretty sure the Person County I just spoke about, I think these particular classes are going to be in the Person County office. But give us a call if you need these credits, and we'll get you registered for one or the other. Again, February 15th is from 10 to 12, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., and February 22nd is 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Both of these are on Tuesday. So if you need those, give us a call. If you need an auction, a lot of people now, if you're going to spray particular auxin-type chemicals, which is a herbicide, auxin herbicides, you have to get a training for that as well. And March 1st at 8:30 a.m., we'll be having watch parties, if you will, at the offices of Granville and Person Counties. March 1st at 8:30 a.m., you can come to the office and watch the training that you need to have to, in order to spray the auxin herbicides that you might need to spray this year. And then fumigant, if you have your fumigant license, a lot of times these are tied into the private applicator license. If you do any fumigation, we will have a fumigation credit at the, you'll be able to get that at Granville County office. Following the auction on March 10th at 10 o'clock if you need your fumigation license. So if you have any questions on any of these, please give the office a call. March 15th, which is getting a little bit out there, but March 15th, we're going to have a multi-credit class. Don't have those credits approved yet. Well, I know we'll have X with that. So, again, if private applicators need an X or 2X credits, that's what you need every three-year cycle is 2X credits. You will be able to get those credits on March 15th from 9 till 11. And this in Person County will be held at the library, Person County Library, and in Granville County it will be at the Granville County Extension Office. So there will be other letters or other categories with that training as well, but we don't have that list approved yet, but we know there will be at least X training on March 15th. So check back for more details. And we'll be giving some letters out and some more notifications as time goes on as well. But the two coming up, March 15th and March 27th, February 15th and February 22nd, those dates are coming up on us pretty quick. So if you need the V training, V's are always a little bit more difficult to get, the V training. So we offer them usually in early spring, late winter, and then we'll have some more late summer, early fall before September 30th is when the certification runs out on those. So if you have any question about your pesticide license, please give the office a call. We can, we can look that up to see if you need these. But if you do need V credits, you should have gotten something in the mail or should be getting something in the mail pretty soon on these dates. So, but feel free, again, to call any of the offices to inquire about these dates and times and whether you need that credit or not.
Well, Johnny, if someone does have their applicator license and they should end up letting them expire without getting that credit hours, it's kind of tough to get them back, isn't it?
Well, you have to take the test. You do have to take the test again in order to do that. And, you know, unfortunately that does happen occasionally. But, you know, that, you know, if you can keep those, keep the credits, you know, keep the certification up. And as I mentioned, the private applicators, and, you know, that's a good part of the license holders are private applicators, which are the ones that the farmers have. And, you know, to keep those up, you have to have 2V and 2X category credits every 3 years. So, you know, it can be, you know, a little tricky if, you know, but just paying attention to it. We try to keep on top of it for the farmers, but, you know, it's hard to, you know, to ensure that everybody gets what they need exactly when they need it. So if you need it, please, you know, or if you think you need it or have a question, you know, call us anytime and we'll be glad to look up that information for you and get things taken care of. So, but yeah, you want to try to keep those, pesticide credits. And that's, you know, a lot of times farmers, I'll stand up for farmers here a little bit because, you know, a lot of times farmers get a bad name for spraying pesticides, Rob, and, you know, a lot of people don't realize that they have to go through these trainings and have a license in order to spray these pesticides and, you know, to spray on their crops. You know, not all the chemicals they spray are not all of them are required to have a pesticide license connected to it, but, you know, a lot of them do, and, you know, farmers, you know, going to these trainings help them be aware of the precautions to take while spraying them. And, you know, the homeowners don't have to have that same training. So, you know, they should, you know, following the label is the main thing. But, you know, it just, you know, the training is for the safety of not just the farmer, but the workers that are working on the farm and the general public as well. So, it's a training process, and, you know, the farmers are not, you know, out there just spraying just to be spraying. I mean, it costs money to spray every time they do, so they want to do it as efficiently and as effectively as they can. And therefore, these trainings allow them to do that.
Well, Johnny, a question for you. You know, we within the last, you know, several days or so, we've been down into the lower 20s. Today, we're in the 60s. With the fluctuation of the weather, is that going to cause a lot of, you know, plants and trees to maybe start sprouting and blooming?
Well, Rob, that's a good question. It's a good topic to address. It is. You know, right now, a lot of the trees have received their chilling hours, and chilling hours are what are required for plants to come out of dormancy or to meet their dormancy requirements. They have to have so many chilling hours, and that's hours between 32 degrees and 45 degrees. You know, if you have those temperatures in there, they have to have so many hours between those two temperatures. And a lot of them have met that requirement at this point. So now anytime the temperature gets, you know, above 60, especially 65, they can start, you know, breaking that. They can start coming out of dormancy and start blooming. I'm sure it will not be too long before we start seeing some maple trees start to bloom. The red maples is a native maple that we have, and it will start blooming pretty soon, and other things to follow. You know, so it is a concern for maple trees. You know, it's not that huge of a concern. I mean, it's just a natural process. But when you start talking about your fruit plants, your fruiting trees, whether it's usually peaches are one of the main ones we're concerned about when they have such low chilling hours. A lot of the varieties, they start blooming early, and then inevitably we're going to get a late frost. We're going to get that late, cool spell. Going to, possibly damage that bloom and damage the fruit set for the coming year. So, it is a concern when we start having days in the 60s and 70s. If it stayed, just moderate, throughout, if it stayed in the lows in the 20s and highs in the 50s, and then just sort of gradually, go up and stay there, and we would be okay. But it's the up and down that does cause, a little bit of heartache, a little bit of headache. It could be heartache and headache for the people that are growing, and even the homeowner, they're trying to grow something in their yard. Blueberries are another crop that sometimes can be damaged by late frost if we have an early, warm up. So it's not the late, a lot of times we try to blame the April freeze, but it's the February warm up that does the damage just as much as the late freeze does, because if they stayed moderate temperatures, then we wouldn't break dormancy that way. But, I'm sure the honeybees are ready to come out of there, start foraging. As soon as we get some warm days, they start foraging, so they need something out there to forage on. So maybe the maples, usually the red maples, are one of those earlier pollinator crops that they can get out there on.
Well, now, Johnny, here it is, February, first part. Is it time to start pruning trees and other, plants in the landscape, or do we need to hold off a little bit longer?
Well, it is a good time to start pruning fruit trees. A lot of times we think about this time of year pruning fruit trees. So if you have grapevines, blueberries, apples, peaches, anything like that that might require some pruning, now's a good time to start doing that. We are actually going to have a pruning demonstration over at Buster Sykes' demonstration orchard. That's over in Alamance County in Mebane. The address is 2430 Turner Road in Mebane. And we're going to have that next Saturday. So not tomorrow, but Saturday, February 12th, we're going to have a demonstration of pruning fruit trees. And this orchard is really a first-class orchard for demonstration, because you've got peaches, you've got apples, you've got blackberries, you've got grapes, you've got pears, you've got pawpaws. So, you've got a variety of different fruiting plants over there. They've got figs. So it's a nice orchard. It's fenced in. And it's a very nice place to go for demonstration purposes. So we're going to be going over there. Paul McKenzie, the horticulture agent from Vance and Warren counties, him and I are meeting. Everybody will come there. We're not providing transportation for this because the environment we're in right now with COVID. So we're just asking everybody to meet us over there. If you will, we're trying to get people registered just so we'll have a number, we'll know a rough number that might be coming to this demonstration. But it will be February 12th over at Buster Sykes in Mebane. Again, that address is 2430 Turner Road. And we do have a registration to get signed up for that. You can through Eventbrite that we're trying to get everybody to register on. The time for this is 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. So it'll be next Saturday morning, February 12th, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. And we'll discuss not just pruning, but other aspects of growing fruit trees as well. The agents that are in Alamance County will be there and help us to go over the different aspects of what they do in the orchard. So it'll be a great, I think, worth your time. From it's not too far of a drive, probably from Roxborough area, 30, 45 minutes at the most, but it would very much be worth your time if you have some fruit trees or fruiting plants to go and see that and get some hands-on demonstration for pruning as well. So it'll be a great time. But now is a good time to start doing some pruning, especially if you have a lot of fruit trees or a lot of grapes or something. It takes a little time to do that. As I tell people, the highest maintenance part of grapes is pruning them. It takes longer to prune grapes than to do any other care for them. So that, pruning them properly does help increase your fruit. Blueberries the same way, proper pruning of blueberries. You can have a lot of blueberries on a plant that you never prune, but they're going to be small and just not hardly worth the picking after a number of years. But if you keep them pruned, keep them maintained, you have the larger blueberries. It's just a better crop if you can keep them maintained. So it's definitely a good time to do that. If you have any questions on any pruning as far as fruit trees or anything, please feel free to give me a call. But we would encourage you to come to the Buster Sykes demonstration orchard next weekend and join us for that too. So if you have any questions on that, just please give us a call at the office.
Well, Johnny, we want to take just a moment to say a congratulations and a well-deserved retirement for Miss Debbie Harrelson, who just recently retired from the office up here in Person County at the Cooperative Extension Service. She had been there a long time, and we want to wish her the very best in her retirement.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, Rob. We will miss Debbie immensely. That is for sure. She, I told her before, and I've told other people that Kim knows livestock. I know a little bit about plants. Jennifer knows family consumer science. Michelle knows 4-H. Debbie is the glue, and Bo knows the administration part of it all, and Vicki Yates is a part of our extension community as well, working with the youth in situations, and we all know our certain areas, but Debbie was that hub in the wheel that kept us all communicating and knowing where everybody was, and she will be missed tremendously. I don't think any of us in the office will not miss her. I think we all will miss her, and we're all definitely better people for working with Debbie through the years. I've only been there for 5 years, but she has meant a lot to me during that time, so I really do appreciate all the work she has done, and wish her the best. I told her, I said, I'm sorry for us, but I'm glad for her.
Well, that's a mighty kind word, Johnny, that you sent in her regard. So let's get a word on for Owl Pride Foods. Owl Pride Foods, makers of Owl Pride Premium Pimento Cheese Spread and Dip, is made in Roxborough. Pick up some the next time you're shopping at Hurdle Mills Market and Butcher Shop, North Main IGA, Supply Line Discounts in South Boston, Virginia, Food Lion, or Kenyon's Meat Market in Mebane. You can enjoy Owl Pride Premium Pimento Cheese Spread and Dip at Rock City Grill, Coles Pharmacy, Triss's Espresso, and Clarksville Station. Owl Pride Foods, makers of Owl Pride Premium Pimento Cheese Spread and Dip, remind you that goodness grows in North Carolina. Try the jalapeno added for extra flavor. That's Our Pride Premium Pimento Cheese Spread and Dip. Johnny, we got just a few more minutes left. I know you said you wanted to mention something about you've already received some calls about sapsuckers.
Woodpecker, he's in the woodpecker family, he or she, yellow-bellied sapsucker, that we always get a few calls from about this time of year. It's a migratory bird, so it overwinters in this area, and then it goes somewhere else for the summer times. But it can cause alarm a lot of times from homeowners because of the damage they can do on several different species of trees. See them on maples quite a bit, but they can also be on fruit trees and other trees. Little holes. If you see a very straight pattern of holes on your tree this time of year, that is most likely the yellow-bellied sapsucker. And what they do is tap the around the bark and get into the vascular system of the tree and cause it to the sap to start running out. And that's their main diet is the sap that comes out of the tree. They can also feed on the insects that sap attracts, because whenever something's running out of a tree like that, it's going to attract certain insects, and that they take advantage of that as well. Normally, the sap running out of the tree is not going to cause any major damage. I mean, anytime you put a hole in a tree or any, I tell people when they prune, when you cut, that's damaging the tree. That's making a wound for insects, diseases to be able to enter into. But that hole that the sapsucker makes is the same thing. So it does allow, it gives you a place that insects and diseases can go into to the tree. Fortunately, this time of year, we don't have a lot of diseases, especially because of the temperatures that we have. They're just not, the environment is not conducive for a lot of the diseases to be out there that would infect. The main problem with the sapsucker, or the yellow-bellied sapsucker, or any of the sapsuckers, would be that they girdle the tree. If they go all the way around the tree with those holes, and those holes are close enough together that they girdle the tree and disrupts the vascular system enough that nutrients and water can't be taken up by the rest of the, to the rest of the plant above where that damage is done. That's where they do most of their damage. If they're just, in one spot, and a lot of times you'll see them just in, just sort of a cluster, and doesn't go all the way around the tree, normally the tree will recover and be okay. If they keep coming to the same tree year after year after year, then, that can distress the tree enough to, that it would be problems, and decline, the tree would decline. But it's not something to be as alarmed about as it looks like, I guess, when you first see it. It can be a little distressing, but it's, just keep an eye on it. And you can put some burlap around the areas that they seem to be going to more frequently, or around the tree. You can do some burlap so they can't get to the trunk. And then once they've migrated on to somewhere else, you can take that off. Mallard tape, you can buy the tape that's real shiny, like you have Mylar balloons that we have. That's what they're made out of, but they're just strips, half inch, three quarter inch strips that you can hang in trees, and that will deter birds a lot of times. So that's another deterrent for them. But unless you have a real severe damage, you've really got a lot of damage on the tree, usually the tree will recover. But it is something to look out for, but just something to be aware of.
Well, Johnny, We are quickly out of time. We've actually ran over a little bit of our allotted time, but really good to hear from you, and glad that you are on the road to recovery. And let's see here. I think you're supposed to be on the program towards the end of the month, so looking forward to that. But if you have any questions for Johnny, you can contact him by calling 336-599-1195 or 919-603-1350. Again, 919-603-1350 or 336-599-1195. And if you'd like more information on that pruning demonstration next Saturday at 2430 Turner's Road in Mebane, you can log on to eventbrite.com or call your local cooperative extension service office and they can give you information. Johnny, have a wonderful and safe Friday afternoon and a good weekend. And thank you and thank all of the extension agents for doing the job that they do. They have the knowledge and they certainly do not mind sharing it with the public. And we appreciate just that.
We appreciate it. And I just realized I left off Michaela's name when I was listing all the people in the extension agent. So Michaela Graham's our new crops agent. Very glad to have her. And she wasn't there much with Debbie, but she is part of the team and glad to have her join us.
Sounds good. Johnny, again, have a great day. Thanks to T.G. Brooks Company and Iowa Pride Foods, makers of Iowa Pride Premium Pimento Cheese Spread and Dip, for sponsoring the Gardener's Corner program.
WKRX, rated number one for Person County listeners. WKRX, my hometown station.